that time. I know that sometimes there's not a whole lot of folks that come to sunrise service. I used to tell a deacon in the previous church because he always said, "Well, you get up after sunrise and you miss such a beautiful thing. Wonderful and beautiful thing." And I said, "HP, watch me. The sunrise, if I turn around this way, at the sunset is just as beautiful as the sunrise." And I found out a long time ago, God doesn't need my help to get the sun up. So I don't need to be there at sunrise. And I will tell you nowadays, though, that most of the time I am there at sunrise. As I get older, I'm getting up sooner and going to bed sooner. I guess that's an older tradition, too, that most of us participate in. Amen? Okay. All right. That's good. I'm glad to know that I'm participating in a good tradition. So we got a lot of activities coming up with Lent, a lot of opportunities for you to step closer to God. I enjoy Lent because it helps me to focus on what Jesus Christ did so that I could have life and the suffering that he went through so that I could have life. Today is traditionally known as Transformation Sunday. And that's why we have the scripture that we have. The Transfiguration is this Sunday we celebrate. And I really want you to think about this story as though you were right there. Because I find that when I place myself in the story, whether I'm wearing someone else's sandals in the story, or whether I'm just there alongside them, whether I'm right there in their presence as all this happens, the imaginative work that can go on in my mind to see what happened is so helpful for me. That is so helpful for me. As we get older, we tend to tell kids that they need to move away from imagination and they need to think more concretely and they need to in facts, and we need to do the enlightenment in that everybody knows the facts and all the concerns and everything. But there is something to be said about being right there. Please don't pack up your imagination. And if you packed it up years or decades ago, I'm going to ask you to go home and find it and unpack it. Okay? Because I want you to be able to step into this story. You see, Jesus and three unprepared disciples witness an unbelievable transformation of Jesus. You see, these three guys, they had no idea what was going to happen. None. The other nine are left at the bottom of the mountain. Jesus chose these three specifically to walk up the mountain with him to witness this. He didn't tell them beforehand, "By the way, we're going up there. I'm going to be changed. Moses and Elijah are going to be here." He didn't tell them that. I think he just said, "Come walk with me." Maybe he said, "I got something to show you." Maybe he said, just be there with me, please." And they're totally unprepared. And an unbelievable transformation happens. An unbelievable transformation. I mean, would you ever expect to see that in your life? What does it say? It says, "And they were with him, they went, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world can bleach them." I mean, do you know that kind of white? I mean, white that is so bright that is blinding. White that is so bright, that is blinding. It's just so much. And it says his clothes, and he transformed. He transformed. And then all of a sudden, what does it say? Then Elijah and Moses appeared and have a conversation with Jesus. Gosh, I wish it would tell us what the conversation was about. Doesn't tell us. The three of them start talking together. Gosh, I would have loved to have been right there listening. Just listening to find out, what are they talking about? I mean, are they talking about Jesus' upcoming crucifixion? Are they talking about the people that are following Jesus? Are they talking about what's going to happen in the days and the next moments ahead before they get to Jerusalem? What are they talking? Are they talking about Scripture and what all the Scriptures mean? Is Moses sharing everything that he knows about the story from his experience and his time? Is Elijah sharing from his? Now you do realize there's something incredible here. Elijah never died. Go and read the scriptures in 1st and 2nd Kings. He never died. He was taken up on a chariot into heaven, and his disciple, Elisha, with an S-H, S-A-H instead of J-A-H, Elisha, S-H-A-H. I'll get it right here in a second. He watched it happen. And as Elisha came back out of the wilderness after it happened, all the other disciples said, "We will go find him." And you know what Elisha said to them? "No, you won't. He's been taken up into heaven. You will not see him. You will not find him. Now he comes back." He never died. One of two people in the Bible, by the way, that it's recorded that never died. I'll let you go look for the other one if you don't know it. You can ask me later. That's a bonus question. You get extra points on your test if you can answer that question, okay? By the way, if you can do that when you get to the pearly gates, I think you get a better house. No. Two people didn't die in the Bible. I'll let you go find that one if you don't know it. If you need a hint, come and ask me. But here they all are, all three of them talking. Jesus is shining like all brilliance and all brightness and completely awesome. I would just be standing there going, "Wow! I couldn't do anything else. Wow, look at this. And I get to witness it. I get to see it. And I get to hear Peter." Doggone it, Peter. Look at this. "Even though frightened," it says, "Peter can talk and add to the moment." Oh, praise God for Peter, huh? He's the color commentary guy. A lot of you I know are going to be watching the Super Bowl this afternoon and listen to color commentary, though. Peter's our color commentary guy. He has to add to what's going on. Like it's not enough. He has to say something, as we do when we experience silence. Have you ever noticed that? Be in a doctor's waiting room, and everybody's being quiet. Doesn't somebody have to speak? Doesn't somebody have to make some noise? There's something about being human that we don't like silence. The quote on my calendar sitting on my desk in the pastor's office said something of this nature this morning. "You won't know joy and love until you can know stillness and silence inside." Think about that. Peter adds to the moment. We can always be thankful. He is so frightened, he doesn't know what to do. So Peter says, "Well, let's talk." I want you to notice what happens when Peter talks. Did you notice that? Something immediately happens. Peter wants to build places for them to live in. He wants to stay there on this mountaintop experience. He wants to be there forever with Jesus, with Elijah, and with Moses. So let's build three huts. Let's build three huts that we can stay here, that we can commune with one another, that we can spend time together in fellowship, that we can just live right here. Then a cloud appeared, verse 7 says, and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. God speaks. Listen to my son. What have you got to do to be able to listen? Peter, what have you got to do? You got to be quiet to listen, don't you? You got to be quiet. Peter spoke, and God appears in a cloud, because if the cloud wasn't there, Hebrew thought is, if I'm in the presence of God and I see God, I will die, because I am not worthy enough, pure enough, holy enough to be in God's presence. So the cloud comes and says, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly they looked around. The whole moment's over. Elijah's gone. Moses is gone. Jesus looked like he did before they climbed the mountain. The whole moment's gone. I guess I could say in one way, Peter ruined it. If I was James, Peter, if you could learn to shut up, we could see these things longer. Do you think James or John ever told him that? I think sometimes Jesus wanted to tell him that. Because look at what Jesus says next. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They're walking down the mountain, and Jesus looks at them and says, don't tell anybody what you just saw until after I rise from the dead. Now, if I go on to read the passage, verse 10, they're talking amongst themselves now, and they're going, what does he mean by rising from the dead? I don't get it. What's he talking about? When are we allowed to talk about this? You know Peter wants to know. When can I talk about this is what Peter wants to know. When is that? I don't understand what you're referring to, Lord. So notice what happens. Peter speaks. God speaks. Jesus speaks. Both God and Jesus give the same message. Listen. Just listen. Now, why wouldn't Jesus want them to tell? Why? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to tell the other nine disciples? Do you guys want to know what we saw today? Do you want to know what we experienced today? As John looks at him and says, Peter messed it up, by the way, but you see, they don't know the full story yet. They don't know all the details yet. They only know part of the story. And what typically happens when we only know part of the story and we try to tell the whole story? Oh, you get it right every time, don't you? Just looking at a little piece of the picture, you know the whole picture and you can tell the whole story, don't you? There's a lot of people that try to. You see, Jesus didn't want them to tell yet because they didn't know how to fit all these pieces together. They didn't understand what all this meant. And maybe Moses and Elijah were talking with him about the crucifixion, about his death, about his resurrection. And if those three guys are anything like me, I can hear half of six sentences and I can tell you the whole story. And almost guaranteed it's wrong every time. You ever done that? Oh, you know, I walked by them and they were talking about, and I overheard this piece and this piece, and I think it fits together this way. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, you're church folks. You don't do that, do you? It's funny how Peter speaks and God says, listen. And Jesus says, be silent. When God does something unbelievable in our presence, may we listen and experience it. When God does something unbelievable in our presence, may we listen and experience it. I think that's part of what this story tells me, is that I should just stop, listen, and just experience it. Just experience it. Sitting at my desk at home and looked up outside the window, and there in my neighbor's yard was a doe walking from bush to bush. That's something just to experience. Just to be silent for a moment. And just to watch the beauty of an unbelievable animal to me. And I just watched it. I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't even have to take a picture. By the way, you can tell Americans, right? Didn't really happen unless you got a picture of it. Right? Didn't really happen unless you take a picture. Yeah, it did. I didn't take a picture of that doe, and I got to watch it. Beauty and grace. Didn't have to say anything. I did say something. I messed it up. I got the cat's attention so the cat could get up on the desk and watch it too. And the two of us just watched it. Just watch this beautiful doe. But I was also praying that as somebody drove down the road, that the doe wouldn't be spooked and run out into the road. Not just for the sake of the people in a car, but for the sake of the doe. I just watched it. When God does something unbelievable in our presence, may we just listen and experience it. Just pause for a moment. You don't have to call anybody. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to take a picture. Just experience it. Imagine how much more those three guys could live through what they lived through because they got to see the transfiguration of Jesus. Two of them lost their lives because they followed Jesus. Only one of those got to live to an old age. But he was exiled on an island and not allowed to be around other people. And brings us one of the greatest imaginative books in all of the Bible, the book of Revelation. John, as he saw that vision, it's only one vision, it's only one revelation. As he saw that, he tried to write it down in words. And we read it and go, what is he talking about? I don't understand this. I can't picture what he's talking about. You see, he's trying to put into words what he experienced. And it just doesn't work. Doesn't fully get there. Just like those of you that have been listening to Lectio 365, what was the vision earlier this week from Ezekiel? About Ezekiel and the heavenly creatures with six wings and four faces that faced in all different directions and wheels underneath them that moved without them even trying to move. And they went in any direction they went without turning and looking. Cherubim. Not Hallmark angels. Cherubim. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Go read that. Try to vision what's there. What are we doing when God does something unbelievable in our presence? Can I name some of those unbelievable things? Watching somebody's heart turn to Jesus Christ. To me, that's unbelievable. Watching somebody's heart turn to Jesus Christ. Being there and watching a prayer be answered. Has that ever happened? Have you ever seen it? I watched a lady that had a stroke and was not able to talk. And they gave her some medication in the ER, and within 15 minutes, she was back to her old self. It had completely reversed the stroke. Maybe it was the prayers. What do you think? I caught a lady one day as she was falling off a chair. And I knew she had just died. And I said, God, not today. And she lived for years after that. Is there anything really I can say about that? It's just experience it. The power, the unbelievableness of God. Now, what does it say? It says that Jesus was transformed. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to another scripture. If not, I want you to reach up and grab one of the pew Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Okay, if you don't know where to find it. And if you don't find those books I just mentioned, turn in front of that. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say this. I want you to know where this is. Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, as you're looking at that in the NIV, I didn't get it right, I know. Because most of the scripture I have memorized, I've memorized from the NASB, which was a very popular and current translation in the 80s and 90s. Okay, so when I memorize stuff, I still memorize stuff from that translation most of the time. But here's the important thing I want you to understand. That word transform there in verse 2, you see it? Transform. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's the only other place in the Bible that the same Greek word is used that's used on the Mount of Transfiguration. Same Greek word in both passages. What does that mean? Same Greek word. Only two places in Scripture is that Greek word used. One, when it talks about the transfiguration of Christ. And the second time that it's used, when it talks about our need to be transformed. God wants to transform you the same way that Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to it again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed. Not to how people are living in this world. Be transformed like Jesus was transformed. Be changed like Jesus was changed. You ever met anybody like that? I was fortunate enough to meet Trevor Hudson. He is a white South African United Methodist minister. You talk about just shining Jesus out. And so down to earth. He didn't live up high on a pedestal. He was so down to earth. Got to hear him speak a couple of years, but I actually got to meet him and talk to him. A brief conversation one time. Both him and I were getting in an elevator. And I got to talk, and he just shined Jesus. It just came out of him, and I knew I was in the presence of someone who knew God well. And it pretty much spilled out of him. It was incredible. He's not the only one. My professor that you've heard me talk about, E. Glenn Henson, same kind of person. He almost couldn't hear worth a lick. But Jesus just oozed out of him when he talked. Gosh, I love to spend time with him. My mistake was I didn't spend enough time with him. You see, we're supposed to be transformed just like Jesus was transformed. And when some of these incredible things happen, are you stopping just to experience it? Or are you going wow and rushing off? Got things to get done. Got to charge on. Sometimes we just need to stop and experience it. I want you to think for a minute. What surprising event have you witnessed? What surprising event have you witnessed that you should experience for a time? What is the surprising event that you've seen, spiritual, holy event, that you've seen that you should just stop and experience it for some minutes? Not charge on. I'm pretty sure, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure God's not in a hurry about things. That God takes time and waits with patience that we might experience the unbelievable and surprising in our presence without saying something about it, without talking about it. I'm going to share one last experience with you that was surprising, unexpected, and I'll never get this out of my mind. And I can still see it very, very clearly. I was in one of the slums in Kenya, and we were helping them at their youth educational center to plant some hedge bushes that were used to keep people out of their compound. These hedge bushes had thorns on it, this 3-4 inches, and it grew incredibly thick. And they had a hedge around half of their compound, and we were there to help them plant some more. And when I say compound, that's really not a good way to say it, because they lived on the trash dump. That's where their compound was for this educational center. They were teaching young girls how to sew, and they were teaching young men how to be carpenters in hopes that they could get a job and move out of the slums. The problem was, is people kept breaking in and stealing all their equipment, which made it very hard for them to teach people now. So they're planting this hedge. So around half the compound, we helped to plant some of that hedge. And by now, it's probably totally impossible. I mean, just impossible. You ain't going to make it through it without getting stuck by so many thorns that you're going to back up and decide, I'm not going in there. We sat down because they wanted to sing us a song for thanks for helping us. And the song that they sang was part of St. Patrick's breastplate. It's the part that goes like this: Christ within me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ to my left and Christ to my right, Christ above and Christ below me, Christ in all the things that I see, and Christ in me that all others will see. And they were singing it in Kiswahili, but because of the tune and whatnot, I knew what song it was. And I'm sitting here on a bench. They're over here singing in this building that we're in, and I'm sitting here on a bench, and the door is right there, and it's open. As I look out the door, here's this little about 8-year-old girl in a pink party dress. Believe it or not, most of our Goodwill clothes end up in third world countries. She had this pink party dress on that was torn and dirty. Somehow, she got through that hedge. And she is dancing to her heart's content while they're singing the song. What an image, what a beautiful, I can still see that girl. They finished singing, and I turned to express thanks to them for what they'd sung for us. And I turned back, and she's gone. She was already back through the hedge and gone. Through the years, it's been over 20 years now. I pray for that girl when I remember her. And I pray that she got out of the slum. And I pray that she had a good life. I don't know if she's still living or not. My prayer is that it, but I can still see her, guys. I can see her. And unbeknownst to me, one of the guys that was with us on our mission trip had videoed her. And we got together just as a time when we got back to the States to share with one another what we, and he played the video. And I just started crying. That was a holy, unbelievable moment that I can describe to you, but you're not seeing what I'm seeing. You're not experiencing what I'm experiencing. That girl made it through that hedge twice and danced with full excitement. And she lived on a trash dump. Had nothing probably but that pink dress. What surprising event have you witnessed that you should experience for a time? And I'm willing to be this bold too. Sometime in the next 4 weeks, you're going to witness something incredibly surprising. I have nothing in mind. Don't think, oh, he knows what's coming up. He knows what he's going to do. I'm just saying it's going to happen for you. Will you notice it? And will you just experience it? Let's pray. Lord, you do incredible things. And the sad thing for us, Lord, is that sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we actually miss when you do something incredible. Whether we're paying attention to something else, or we've got to get somewhere, we got to do something, we got to... Lord, help us just to listen, to look, and just to soak up the experience that we too might be transformed, for others to see your power in this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.